because I knew that we were going to be in a short situation, and it's something that you can get across. But I tell you what I want to look at tonight. Let's look at the verb language. Let's look at the purpose for the things, right? You're familiar with this story. We talk about helmets and swords and belts and shoes, and we a lot of times focus on the item, and we say, well, this item, this item, that. Well, we're given the items, we're given the whole armor of God to do things. So tonight, let's just take a brief look at the things that we are to do with the whole armor of God. And the first thing that we are to do is realize we are at war. This is not some casual metaphor that Paul thought, oh, you know, I think it'd be cool if I took the armor of a Roman soldier and did something about that, and maybe I could get a point across. Christian, there is a war for your soul. Husbands and wives, there's a war for the soul of your family, for your spouse, for your children. Elders, deacons, preachers, teachers, there's a war for the soul of every human being in this congregation. And it goes on all the time. And we talk so much about shepherds and flocks in the last couple of years. But let me tell you, that's how Satan works. If he can pick you off, if he can get you lost in the wilderness, if the elders can bring the sheep into the pen at night and they can keep you out in the wilderness, that's the problem. That's why Jesus left 99 and went after the one, because it's serious business. Because Satan is not taking you out there in the wilderness to read you story time. He's there to destroy your soul for eternity. So as we go through this lesson, take it seriously, because Paul takes it seriously. And he begins in verse 10. We'll read Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 12, and then take a moment to examine another verse in Ephesians. But we'll begin in verse 10 of chapter 6. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Don't forget as we go through this, that is serious business. If someone is at war with me, they're trying to kill me. This week in Ukraine, they found a mass grave supposedly with 400 people in it. That shocks us. It should not shock us. When you are at war, you are trying to kill the enemy. Satan is at war with you. He wants to kill you. He wants to take away that germ of eternal life. We studied a few weeks ago about the parable of the sower. When that seed hits that hard path and bounces off, who's there to grab it? Satan is. So as we go through this lesson, we're not putting on the whole armor of God just because it's entertaining language. We realize that these are the schemes of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness. And that reminds me, if you got your Bible there, open over to Ephesians chapter 2. Because I think we need to get this. I quoted this verse a couple weeks ago, and I saw some looks on some faces. The word devil is not used in this verse. But I want to assure you that that's who's being referred to here. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. What's the difference between that and the schemes of the devil? Nothing. They're the same people. The prince of the kingdom of this air is Satan. Paul is saying twice in the same book, you need to pay attention that we are at war, that there is someone after your soul. If I go to war and I'm on the front lines and I forget, you think back to World War I, World War II, they had trench warfare. I don't know how many people are familiar with that. But you had trench warfare. Well, what happens if I wake up one morning, I forget where I am, and I just wander out brushing my teeth and taking a nice stretch and wandering out over the, looking out at the meadow. Hey, guys, how's it going? How's everybody? Beautiful day. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to get shot full of holes. Because if you forget you're at war and you don't act like you're at war, you're going to die. So this is serious business. Paul is saying to us, we need to see it. We need to recognize it. This is something that I think we need to emphasize probably more than we do, that we see evil, that we see a spiritual work. We talked this morning about God's spirit. Well, Satan's spirit is at work as well. And he has schemes, and he wants to trap us. And you know what 1 Peter chapter 5 says. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can tickle, devour. So when we read the rest of this list, don't forget, these are real things, these are necessary things, and they are things that if we're not using, we will die spiritually. So with that having been said, let's read the text. It's familiar to us, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and 20 through 20, and then we'll briefly take a look at the individual items with which we are to do battle. Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 20. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, in other words, because we're at spiritual warfare, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and his shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Those last two verses are personal to me. I pray every time I preach. And I pray that the Lord will give me the words that I can say that will touch somebody's heart, that will help convert them to Christianity, and that I may speak boldly. If Paul could pray for that, if Paul could ask that you pray for that, why on earth do you think I don't need to pray for it? Because I assure you I do. Don't forget prayer. We'll get on that in just a moment. But just briefly, and I promise I would keep you just a little bit of time, let's make a couple of comments about these individual items. It's interesting to me, I've never been a soldier, so I've never put on armor. But when I think of armor, I don't think of the belt first. I don't know how I think of police officers. Maybe they think of their duty belt, or some military people might. But I don't think of a belt first. This is the first thing that Paul mentions. And it's the belt of what? It's the belt of truth. Because what holds it all together? We talked this morning about having unity in the church. How can we have unity in the church? We have to agree that the Bible is the standard. If we don't agree that the Bible is the standard, we can't all agree. Things aren't held together. The truth of God's Word holds it all together. So that's what we're looking for there when we're talking about the belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Now I think there is a sense in which it's talking about our ability to stand right before God because of the sacrifice of Christ. I think that's probably most of what Paul meant. But it also means righteous deeds. When I become a Christian, there's no doubt that God's grace saves me. There's no doubt that my works don't save me. But let me tell you what I should begin to do. I should begin to do works of righteousness. That's what Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, that have been prepared for me before the world. And those acts of righteousness build up habits. Build up habits. And here's what I mean by that. He's talking about a breastplate of righteousness. If I am in the habit of coming to Bible study at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, if I am in the habit of coming to worship service at 10, if I have the righteous habit of coming to worship at 5 and coming to Bible study on Wednesday at 7 and preparing my lesson, if I do that over time, I will build up a muscle memory, a habit of righteousness. A habit of righteousness. So that if I'm sick or whatever it is and I miss one Wednesday, does that affect me too much? No, it does not. Why? I've built up a storage shed of righteousness, of deeds of righteousness. I have protected my body by building up habits of righteousness. Now, over time, if I lose that habit, then I'm vulnerable. So we need the truth to hold it all together, and we need a history of righteous acts to help us know what to do in the right. He says to stand. He says it twice. You know why we can stand? Because we're preparing. We're practicing. We know what the will of God is. We can see Satan for what he is. We understand spiritual warfare. And we do it all the time. We're practiced. We're honed. We're mature. Shoes, readiness for the gospel. When you know the story of God's love for mankind, you should not be able to stop from going to your neighbor's house. It's that simple. The gospel prepares us to move our feet. God has loved us so much and done so much for us. Why can I not tell my neighbor? Shield of faith. Why? Extinguish the darts of the wicked one. Faith is what gets us through. The helmet of salvation. I resort to this a lot in my personal life. If things are going, this is kind of a little habit for me. If things are going bad on a day, you know what I remind myself of? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I don't care how bad the day is. I don't care if a loved one dies. I don't care if I lose money. I don't care if I can't pay a bill. I'm going to heaven. And that protects me. And finally, the sword of the Spirit. Not to be confused with the Spirit, but the Word of God. The thing with which the Spirit cuts. The Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. It can convict men's hearts. The written story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and how I believe in it, and how I tell others about it, can bring about salvation and save a soul from the prince of this air, of the kingdom of this air, kingdom of the air, excuse me. And finally this, if we had more time, I was going to sing the song. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray. If Paul said he prayed and he wanted the Ephesians to pray for him, why would we not want to pray for each other? Why would we not want to ask God to strengthen each one of us as we go through our day? Why would we not beg for forgiveness from God? Talking to God is important as listening to God is from the Word. Well, that's our lesson. I hope it's encouraging to you. I am always encouraged. I've done this lesson probably four times. It's probably one of the ones that I've repeated more than any others. And everyone's been a little different. But I love it. I love it because you can see it, right? It's not hard to understand. And because we need it. If you don't do anything else, when you walk out of this door today, you be aware that Satan is after you, and you be aware that God is on your side, and you pray that he will protect you. If you will do that, we will have won this lesson tonight. If you're not a Christian, none of these tools apply to you. You've never been mustered in. You've never been through basic training. You've never been given any of this equipment, and you need it so badly. If you're not a Christian, can we help you tonight? Just come forward as we stand and we sing.